Blog Talk Radio.
You want to try the phones first?
I'm doing it.
Hey, Mike. Can you hear us?
Hi.
Hey, we're gonna start in like 2 seconds.
Okay, cool. Well, here I am.
Rob, I can hear you on the phone. Do you hear me?
Yeah. Can oh, wait. Let me. Hold on. Let me pick up.
Wait, let me mute.
Hello. Yeah. Now you're
hi. Right. Hi. Okay.
Yep.
I'm Noah, by the way. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I like your background. That's way cooler than mine.
Thanks. Yeah.
I gotta get that Be Well background. Shit.
I figured you like it. And that's, well, you know Rob already. And
big fan. Oh, what's happening?
Very, very nice to meet you.
What's happening?
All right,
well,
it's gonna be a lot
live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Live. This is sick. I love being live.
Anything can happen. The high wire act.
Everything's so recorded now, you know? I like live is awesome.
Read.
You can really fuck it all up live, you know?
This is one thing a lot of people ask us. Can you curse? The answer is yes, please. I'm cursing.
Encouraged.
Oh, no, I'm 42. I'm trying to clean that up.
Hey, you don't have to
good.
Curse.
It's not good for me to curse anymore, but I'm going to do it anyway. But I'm going to try to do my best to clean it up here.
All right. Let's start. I'm ready to go. Let me just – I'm muting everybody. And then – I will unmute you when we're live.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Can you believe summer is almost over? Did summer ever even start? This is your announcer, Dumb Chan, and ruined all my plans. Welcoming you, Rob, and I were gonna go on a romantic kind.
Go!
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington. Welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Can you believe summer is almost over? Did summer ever even start? This dumb pandemic ruined all my plans. Rob and I were gonna go on a romantic kayaking retreat in Vermont. Instead, I just went to his apartment and sat on his belly while he laid in his bathtub. It just wasn't the same. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Welcome to the Metal Injection Livecast. We're so excited that we had to play the intro twice. I keep forgetting that when I start the YouTube stream, it automatically plays, creating a weird loop. But we're here. We're learning. It's only been 4 months since we've been doing these quarantine episodes, or 5 months. I don't know. It's Rob here with Sid,
hello.
Noah,
hey,
Darren, and our very special guest, Mike Shabalam. Seriously?
My God.
Mike Shabalam. Did I get it?
Close enough.
How is it?
Mike Shabalam.
Shabalam. I knew it. I'm just under pressure. I'm still freaked out by the...
Oh, it's cool. We're all friends here.
We're live.
We're live on YouTube.
Thank you, Mike, for joining us. You can join us if you are listening live. We're live every Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern to 8 p.m. Eastern. Our number is 213-WIDE-NUT. That's 213-943-3688. Mike, you are, I'm assuming, in the greater D.C. area. How are you holding up these last 2 months?
Well, welcome. I am in Washington, D.C., the belly of the beast, and I'm grateful to be healthy and my family's healthy. And I have this lovely studio, so I'm very happy and content, although at the same time miserable. So I just would like to first say, I preface whenever I'm doing these interviews and people say, how are you doing? I mean, I really don't have a perspective on some things that people are facing right now that are really hard, because I am lucky enough to be isolated in my little castle here in right outside of DC. So I'm very appreciative for my space, but at the same time, I lament the rock and roll summer being different. So I'm caught in the middle. So I just have to go with that PMA and just say, I'm doing great, man. You know,
I think we need to ask a different question.
Well, no, that's fine. I mean, you know, because I've been doing a lot. But yeah, in general, I have actually been busy. You know,
yeah,
I've been back. Just like you guys have adapted here, I've adapted. You know,
I feel like I have to sometimes catch myself too. Like I start to complain about something that's like quarantine related, and then I see something on the news like people are being kicked out of their homes and stuff, and I'm like, oh, what the fuck am I complaining about? Like, shut up.
Trying to keep that perspective here on the old podcast.
Wise man.
And I want to mention, you know, you have been keeping busy. You have a new release, a new-ish band called Be Well.
That's
Some of your old bandmates. And yep. I'm really digging the sounds here. This EP, you could see it in Noah's background.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's the album cover. It's coming out August 21st, this Friday, when this is being filmed. And yes, it's a new band, but with really old friends. Everybody in the story of Be Well really ties into the story of Darkest Hour, which is my main band that I've been doing for 25 years and am still doing and is still also super busy. So the pandemic got in the way of my 2020 because I was supposed to be crushing it. Be Well had this record release. We put out singles. They've been out for a while. Like, we did a 7-inch. I had a record release show. We were like playing shows. It was a real band. And then things changed, but the album's still coming out. But we have been working on this thing for probably about 5 years. And it does, like I said, it includes a cast of old friends and characters, which, you know, I could talk about forever, but I don't want to, you know, spoil the surprise or anything. But yeah, that's Be Well. You know?
Yeah, it's good. I really dig the music. It has kind of, in a way, like it kind of brings me back to like the aughts, like the sounds of the early aughts.
Okay.
Kind of like the thricey kind of sound.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact that the producer, Brian McTernan, who's the lead singer of the band and also has produced 3 Darkest Hour records, also produced I think at least 2 thrice records. I mean, I don't know Brian's Wikipedia. He's done so many records you can't even get them, but I know he did Artists in the Ambulance for sure, and that's one people love. And I have done a bunch of tours with thrice too. They're, you know, good friends, obviously, maybe a musical influence once you soak all that in. But Brian has worked on so many records like that. You know, I think you start to hear a blend of all of it when you start listening to the band. You know, maybe you hear a little Senses Fail. Maybe you hear a little Hot Water Music. Maybe you hear a little Bane. I mean, maybe you hear a little Darkest Hour. Maybe that's me.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It's just kind of all over there. But since Brian's the main kind of lightning bolt that will start a Be Well song, which is nice because I don't have to be that, we can have a really unique partnership where it makes this band that I think gives it that, what did you say, aughts?
Early aughts.
aughts sound. And I just think, to me, it's Brian amplified by all of us, but in a way, once that happens, we all join together, and that's maybe every band, you know what I mean? You hear that a lot in the sound.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because Brian mentioned that you were the one who kind of like encouraged him to go forward with Be Well, and I was wondering, like, what was the impetus for that?
Yo, can I just take all 100% of the credit right now, since it's just us and whoever's watching on YouTube? I think people have to try to understand that when someone produces a record for your band, they, you know, they truly produce it. They bleed into that record. You watch them skip meals, skip time with their family, you know, put in a lot of hard work, you know, sometimes harder work than band members will, you know, and you come to love them. And Darkest Hour has been truly blessed to work with, you know, speaking of Darkest Hour, I've been blessed to work with Devin Townsend, Brian McTernan, Peter Witchers, Taylor Larson, Kurt Ballou, you know, and Brian McTernan. And the times that Brian has worked on those records, he poured everything into those records. And I became not only a fan, but like a lifelong friend. And also, I started sort of studio ratting around Salad Days, the studio. I would like learn how to use Pro Tools there. I would ghost produce records there. I would sweep up the floor there for studio time. And after a while, I, you know, became really close with him. And so when he shut the studio down, because the industry has been forever changing, he sort of backed out of the game for a minute. And I was maybe one of his few friends that just kept engaging him, like, you have to keep doing a band. You have to keep doing a band. You always have the best idea in the room. How can you stop, you know?
Wow.
And his answer was sort of just like, well, music's moved on for me. And what I don't know what it was, because I totally couldn't relate, because here I'm doing my heavy metal band, you know? But fast forward to us reconnecting over the band Battery, who I'm not sure if anybody watching this will know about, but is an amazing straight edge hardcore band from the 90s. They're going to hate that I said straight edge, because not everybody's straight edge, but it was from that scene. And it was big in the 90s, and Brian was the singer of it. And I did my first European tour with Battery. So we connected, and Battery reunited. Once Battery reunited, I was like, Brian, you're back. We played the Revelation 25. We did this reunion thing. But you need to compose new music. And I think that the box of Battery didn't fit for him anymore. He needed to do something, you know, him. So for me, in a shorter way of putting all of that, is that I have been a part of a lot of songwriting teams, and I know which role needs to be played sometimes. And a lot of times I'll fight to play that initial voice. But I know with Brian, what he needed was that person to be like, this shit is good. Fucking do it, man. And sometimes you need that person around. And I'll take credit for being that person, because I did it enough. But at the same time, like, Brian is a smart person. And once you, you know, push him along, or once he starts heading in the right direction, you can't stop him. And I knew it was going to be like wildfire. And you have yet to see how good it's going to get, because y'all ain't. World hasn't heard the record, and Brian is his best live. So once we can get back out there and play shows and he can connect with people, I really think the band will be special. So here we are, birthing it during COVID, you know?
You mentioned shows. What do you think it will take to get things kind of rolling again?
Well, I'm a death metal guitar player, so I don't have the credentials to know exactly what it's going to take. But if I could hypothesize,
of course,
I mean, I guess what it's going to take is, you know, from what I'm hearing, is some sort of vaccine or something that's going to make people feel comfortable to get together in a way that I do have some friends who are in Europe who have experienced live concerts that exist while people wear masks, or they social distance, or maybe the count's low enough in a country that they've moved past the mask for a minute and they're doing something else. But I think one of the dark games me and a lot of my friends play is, when are you going to see that Slayer Live at the Warfield mosh pit again? You know, when is that going to feel okay for people? And I don't think it's going to take long for humans to get back to that connection, because I think we all really crave it. But hopefully we can all do it in a safe way, because, you know, I'm trying to do my best while I still love playing concerts. I hate turning on the TV and seeing that people are dying. So, I mean, we have to try to find a way to get this under control, so then I can go back to, you know, playing guitar on a stage. But in general, in the bigger picture, I think what it's going to take is hopefully like some clearer communication in general with all of us, and us all working together, you know? So.
Well, I mean, are some bands less scrupulous than you that are already playing shows that feature mosh pits, as we learned from this show.
Like who? Like White Snake or whatever? Not White Snake.
Great White.
Should not confuse them, because, you know, one is a seven string and one doesn't. But, well, who? Who's got the mosh? What are you talking about?
I mean, like, we cover stories at least once a week on this show that there's always these, like, smaller shows that are doing, like, skirting COVID rules to do
very
tight shows.
Yeah, so far the only mosh pit was like at a small like DIY show where you had to buy a chili cheese dog to get in. But that, I didn't really count that. But there are some bands there was like Fozzy did shows, Static X, you know, really top of the line stuff here.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of encouraging people to, you know, having people police themselves. So, I mean, if imminent death is not enough to get people to just, you know, and I mean, look at how many amps are behind me. If this dude can just leave this shit in his basement for a minute, then everybody could take five until we can figure out what the fuck to do, you know. But
yeah,
you know, if there is hope, because I have European friends and they tell me, you know, that life is happening outside of.
Yeah, like Destruction was doing shows already in, I don't know if it was Germany or whatever, which
I
is
saw
an ironic
that.
Name.
No,
but
no,
like,
no.
Yeah, they're doing
that,
shows.
No, I think that show was in Switzerland, actually.
Switzerland, okay. Yeah,
but
let me look it up right now.
Germany.
But, yeah.
But I actually watched that because Darkest Hour toured with Destruction a really, really long time ago in the 90s. So as soon as any Destruction headline pops up, I'm always like, oh, what the fuck is this up to? But yeah, I saw they played a show, looked good. Darkest Hour is going to attempt to do a live stream concert, and so will Be Well at some point, I'm sure. That seems to be a thing people are doing. You know, if you can do what Destruction did and basically record it in front of people that stand 6 feet away from each other or something, I don't know, but I don't know if that's going to do it for me. I just want back what we had. So I would rather wait. That's me. But
I'm with you. I don't know, like, what's the fun in going to like a heavier rock show, like a hard rock heavy metal show, and not being allowed to like dance and bump up it, like that's
okay.
That's
the fun is human connect. Like, we need more than ever to connect with people outside of this computer, although here we are doing it or whatever. But we need to get around people, because the internet, it can be a really tough place to have any real exchange of ideas. So I shows are a great place to do that, to get different types of people together. I mean, albeit sometimes it doesn't always work out, but neither in real life, you know. And I think we need that. So if we can get to some middle ground that works, that is healthy, then I do think the contact and the interaction, you know, minus the mosh pitting, which, you know, is also debatable by a lot of people whether that's distracting from anything, you know, whatever, I think it's still useful though, man. You know, live music is still badass, but I want
the
goddamn
so
circle pit.
One thing that I really dig about Be Well is you guys are advocating for mental health. And, like, the band seems to be all about that. And based on like the press materials I read, it was about how you kind of like got Brian, like you were, like you said, sorry.
It's Brian understanding that like depression could be passed down to his daughter, and just like,
thank you,
and that it's kind of like a roller coaster and it doesn't really go away. It's just something that you're continuously working against. And, you know, the two songs that are out are phenomenal. And I want to tell you, like, I don't typically listen to hardcore music, but I listened to those songs today. And then I listened to Battery. I was like all in on it. I just felt like it's a very important topic, especially for people who are finding themselves alone during quarantine and having to like face themselves. And it just, it's Brian being very vulnerable, and the music that accompanies him just felt very hopeful. So it's not an album that's going to make you sad. It's really an album that's very uplifting and also very relatable. It's just great. It's just amazing.
Well, let me preface this with a, man, it is so personal. And when you've been there the whole time, boy, is it personal. And for someone who didn't write all these thoughts down, but lived through them in a weird lens and now sees Brian and his relationship with Cass, you know, his daughter. And also I have a daughter as well. We both have one kid. So we have that a lot in common. They're not that far apart in age. So we've both been kind of going through a lot of the same stages of fatherhood too. But first, let me preface this with like, all this is super personal, right? So, and I didn't know, it's hard when your friend opens up about all this, but to dig into it a little bit, yes, the band is advocating that people talk about mental health, but you don't have to like be emotionally, tragically scarred by life to enjoy this record. And also you don't have to live through depression to connect with the lyrics either, because I think what really happened for me about this record was, first I put on my armor. You have to understand, like, the songs are about Brian's life, but I feel like I've been a friend for him for a lot of it. So when he writes about times like before I knew him where people weren't there for him, that's hard to hear. Sometimes I think about his brother, Mike, who's a DC hardcore legend. Shout out to Mike McTernan. Mike's a badass, and Mike would get up there and watch Brian talk about how fucked up his family was, like in front of all these hard, like poor people. And Mike's standing there like ready to sing along. And it's like tough to hear that. So for me, first, I think I ignored most of the message of the album. I got to be honest. Like, we were working on the music. I was just thinking, shit, the right hand goes like this. The riff goes like this. He's going to be pissed if I play behind the beat. Holy fuck. Brian's crazy. So once I started understanding it, it dawned on me that, you know, I don't face depression. I face anxiety. That is my beast, you know, my mental health battle. But I'm not saying it's easier, but I've found a way to cope with that in life where my anxiety sometimes can be positive fuel for a lot of things, you know. But whereas depression is interesting because it doesn't look the same from the outside. Like, if you don't understand depression, it really doesn't make sense, because people have great things going on. Why are they sad? You know? And so for me, this record kind of put that into perspective. Like, Brian could go through this the whole time where he could be calling me, and the whole time I could be telling him like, yeah, but shit's not that bad. Like, fucking, you got your house and your dogs and your other, you know, your studio, and you know, you don't have any debt, and you're doing your thing, and now you're working this other job, and you can do whatever you want, you know. Like, it seemed like life was positive, but now I know he was in a dark place. Sometimes depression's hard to see, and he was clearly not like talking about it with like his close friends, so it came out in this record. But that's the okay place, because now it can be an impetus for people to find solace and enjoy the band. But I just would like to say, all that being said, the riffs are badass. There's a lot of other shit. It isn't all just about having a kid. So
yeah,
I think people will have to do their own digging. But if you care enough to just see what he has to say, I think you might be drawn in enough, you know?
Yeah, and the music is awesome. I do want to mention that as well. You said you were in the DC area. I was curious, were you by any of the protests or the hubbub that's been going on?
Man, am I by that protest? Man, the White House is down hit there. You know what I'm saying? Black Lives Matter is right around the corner. So, yeah, it's here. This is Washington, D.C. It's not going to go anywhere. It's very normal for people to have signs in their yard that tell you what they think. And it's pretty normal for people to discuss that, you know, here where I'm at. And it's not taboo, really. It's just kind of normalized. So the short answer is yes. We are in the thick of it. And, you know, we are hoping for some real positive change from all the discussion that's happening.
Same. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty close to where the Brooklyn protests were. And it's the same thing. And it's interesting how it's kind of died down a little bit, I guess, you know, but really also not. Like, I'll still see on Twitter that there's still huge protests happening almost every day, but the media has kind of just moved on from it. Bit weird.
I'm doing my best right now to try to listen, you know what I mean, as a Italian American, you know. There's a lot of the streets doing talking right now, if you know what I'm saying, Dave Chappelle style. But you know, I do think that I'm not sure if died down's quite the right word, as it is maybe reorganized, you know, into like re-strategize. I think there was a lot of anger and frustration that happened, and now I'm hoping that that gets targeted. I mean, you know, you still have things happening in America, and you still have this sort of tension everywhere, but I'm hoping the greater consciousness has moved to how do we make society better from this conversation that really has been happening for a while, but really was sparked from probably the combination of people being stuck in front of their iPhones and then being, you know, sort of forced or at least fed the video in general. And then those things combust, of course. And then now we're here. And so let's hope that this conversation can be positive, you know, and I'm just trying to, as I said, listen, because it's tough when you have a band that's like five white dudes, you know, who all have an opinion about something. And right now it's like, well, we're trying to give voices to other things. So I encourage people to look at what those, you know, different outlets are saying so that I don't have to be a voice for them directly. You know, I'm just here to be in solidarity and say, you know, in general, first of all, back to the subject, police, we see you, you know, can't do fucked up shit. I think that's the message that at least me and my neighbors say are trying to get across in general, you know, because I think the message really seemed to be about policing. And I think that's where I hope it will stay from a political standpoint if we're going to go down that road in this podcast, you know?
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah. And just accountability. I feel like if somebody makes a mistake, they should be held accountable for it and not the city. I feel that's.
Yeah. I mean, we're citizens of America. The way this works is their police protect and serve, you know, do better. That's what we're saying. And then of course there's going to be everybody that's got a woodism about everything I just said. So here it comes, but what I'm saying is what I think. And that's, you know, because I play guitar in a death metal band, I guess. And a melodic, emotional punk rock band.
And to lighten the mood a little as we wind down the interview, I do want to say just to transition out of Black Lives Matter.
and mental health awareness.
And mental health, you know.
Bummer.
For my mental health, one of my favorite people to smoke a joint with backstage at a show is you, Mike. And I'm really glad that it's been a while. In fact,
hey man, joints are done.
Joints are canceled. Hashtag cancel joints.
Fuck,
right.
Man.
We can't even share joints. Like you have to like cut it.
Yeah, you're going to have to edit that out because I don't like, you know, everybody to know that I smoke weed or whatever.
Yeah, you can never tell.
Motherfuckers get all super pissed off. But if we're going to talk about that, you know, yeah, no, you can't pass joint. It's perfect. It's amazing. It's your best excuse to just smoke all that shit yourself.
Oh,
hey, who said joint, you know, done? You just can't give them to the other person.
Yeah, but there was something very communal about the old circle. And the thing is, me and my darkest hour buddies, we used to like to pass around bottles. You know, a funny side story about the pandemic was we thought when we canceled our tour in April with Misery Signals that, you know, no biggie, like, or before we canceled it, we thought maybe it was just more of a going to be a preventative thing. You know, nobody knew anything back then. So we started having these internal conversations that were like, all right, no more joint passing, no more passing around the Jack Daniels bottle. And then we're like, wait, we're going to have to like divide the bottle up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like how we're going to have to get glasses. And it's like, well, if you get glasses, you're going to have to make sure everybody has their name on the glass, you know? And it started to get hard to think about all the things we'd been doing. And we had been to Italy, Germany, you know, Switzerland, all those places in February, early February, January.
Oh, wow.
This year.
And it almost feels like it was 3 years ago now. It was only 5 months and
before,
so much
and
has
after.
Happened.
And now all the liquor and glass stores are closed, so you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I didn't mean to go dark because, you know, there still is, you know, medicinal marijuana even during the pandemic, so everybody's still happy, all right?
Yeah. It's just, you know, a lot of...
But like, I miss you, dude. I miss partying backstage. I agree. I miss the backstage.
Just the camaraderie, too.
Damn.
Just the hang.
Yeah.
The off-the-record shit-talking on the music industry.
Well, you know, they don't know what you got till it's gone. So when it comes back, hopefully we can really treasure it and enjoy it that much more, you know?
Agreed. There's a part of me, like, I know there'll be an adjustment period. People are going to be a little agoraphobic. But I think when shows do come back, they'll be, like, bigger than ever because people are just so restless to go hang out.
And
you know?
The human connection, like you said.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's what Be Well is, like, really about. I mean, the band spawned from the joy of Battery being on tour again, Brian feeling that energy, and us being like, dude, we want to play hardcore shows again. You know, like when it was not so important about the light show, not so important about all the notes, but more important about just everybody getting together and what people had to say and getting it out and having a place outside of the rest of the world. And so we were at the beginning of building that, and the pandemic has currently sidelined it, but it has not stopped it because now we have this record and we have the internet to basically give you all the songs so that you can know them, so that when the shows happen, the shit's gonna be on. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. There's gonna be a huge gang pile up on the microphone.
Well, I mean, I guess that's gonna be. at least I don't sing. So yeah, I'll be on.
Yeah,
the
you can just step
I'll
back.
Be behind the barrier with the.
Maybe we could just have 10 microphones instead of a gang up. You just throw them into the crowd, whoever.
Nah, one of my favorite things to do with Battery was to give the guitar to somebody else on tour and take the mic into the audience. Man, there's nothing like a hardcore show. Is the first place in my life where I saw a singer break the stage, not care that like people were, you know, they could. You know, we're the same, you know, where they would be off stage talking to people and then on stage and be a mega superstar touching your life and then back to being, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so I love hardcore and just, I love being in people's faces. So when that shit's on, get in the stage, scream at us. We're going to hope it's going to be safe by then, you know?
Agreed. Mike, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for hanging. I can't wait to see you again. Be Well, The Weight and the Cost. It's out this Friday. Streaming where you stream your music. We highly recommend it. Thanks, Mike. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah.
All right. Let me get him out of here. You're out of here, buddy.
I didn't want to interrupt your outro there. You see, we're in a nice little flow, but I wanted to ask him about, you mentioned being Italian. Like, our last name sounds very Jewish.
Yeah. I think it's Polish. No,
I don't know. I don't
know. Well, you're not Polish. You can't ask.
No. Yeah. No. Well,
I really think because the weight and the cost. Like you mentioned, cost is album titles. I think that's very cool.
The weight is the Italian part, and the cost is the Jewish part.
True.
And if you want to hear the two songs that are out, you can like our Spotify music break playlist because they're both on there.
Oh, yes, that's right. For old school fans who missed the music break, we're doing the music break again in a different format, in the form of a Spotify playlist you could subscribe to. And every week, at the top of the list, we add our picks. Each one of us picks a song. This week, we also added the Be Well tracks in addition to our picks. And I'm burping up a storm here, but it's really fun. It's really fun to come up with a song every week to kind of suggest to you, the livecast listener. This week I picked AC/DC Big Balls. It came up on the classic station the other day, and I was like, "What song encapsulates
your balls?
My contribution." To the Metal Injection Livecast and AC/DC Big Balls. Mm-hmm. So that's why I picked it.
I had Anthrax on there from Persistence of Time, since we have a little thing to tell our listeners about pretty soon. And then I changed it to Be Well. I just really like the song. It's just like, I'll just save Anthrax for next week.
I'm not sure what you were hinting at, Noah.
Noah actually chose Big Balls to represent her big balls, but then she saw that you had sent that over already, so she changed it.
I know, it was so pissed.
Very considerate. Sid, what did you pick?
I picked a song from the soundtrack to the movie Judgment Night, which I feel like we've talked about on the show at some point.
Yeah.
The movie was...
The movie's terrible.
Yeah. But the soundtrack is all like rap and rock artists working together on like original songs. And the one I picked was Dinosaur Jr. and Del the Funky Homo Sapien. It's very jammy, very spacey, but
that,
still really good.
That album is a almost 50-50 split between great songs and absolute cringe songs.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of terrible songs. You picked one of the great songs.
Yeah.
I picked Servitude by Fishbone. I can't think of a more underrated band, an unheralded band than Fishbone. I think I just saw
that they're working on new material, and like Fat Mike from NoFX is producing, maybe.
Oh yeah, I'm so out of music.
What's their sound like? I don't think I've ever listened to.
It's hard to classify. But have you ever heard that song Everyday Sunshine? It's almost like they
Party at Ground Zero.
Yeah, they can.
It's like ska punk. But
it can vary between like ska and then like actual like riffy hardcore sounding, but like poppy hardcore sounding catchy music, and they run the gamut. They're very musically diverse, and the subject matter of that song is very relevant to what's happening now too.
It's funny. I just saw today. We talked about the Judgment Night. Sid talked about that. Vernon Reid of Living Color mentioned how one of his favorite memories in working in music was working with Run DMC on that Judgment Night soundtrack, because the news came out about Jam Master Jay's murder. Jam Master Jay was murdered almost 15 years ago now. It's crazy, or longer.
Yeah, it was 18 years ago.
And they just closed the case. They arrested two people. And turns out that Jam Master Jay was slinging tons of coke. It was all a coke deal gone bad. He was trying to push out one of the people that murdered him on this big coke deal, this interstate coke deal, which honestly, to me, I'm listening to it. This is like
murder.
Jam Master Jay is one of the most iconic musicians in hip hop, you know, and the guy had to still sell coke like 30 years into his career.
So when you got a money making opportunity, you don't turn it down. Even rich people want more money.
But maybe he just did it for the love of the game too. Though. Is that possible?
I don't know. I feel like once you reach a certain level of rich, you don't risk it doing coke deals. It was a little.
Don't tell
him
what to do.
But you'd think usually you don't risk it because you might get arrested. But with him, that wasn't what got him. It was just being a bad partner.
Fair.
Murder.
You know, another band that is, of course, very much fans of hip-hop is Anthrax. They, of course, had that famous collaboration with Public Enemy. And Anthrax are commemorating the 30th anniversary of their 1990 album release, Persistence of Time. The masters of thrash metal are back with a deluxe anniversary edition on vinyl and on CD. The vinyl edition offers four LPs as well as revised cover art that reflects what has been the album's original concept visually. So that's really cool. And the two-disc CD contains the original 11-track album, a special bonus B-side version of I'm the Man, and a live version of Time, as well as special recordings from Charlie Stash, including rehearsals, writing sessions, pre-production, and live performances of Charlie Benanti as recorded over the past 40 years. The 40-minute guerrilla-style DVD was shot when Anthrax was on tour with Iron Maiden in 91 and features live and backstage footage of both Anthrax and Iron Maiden, such as when Anthrax joined Iron Maiden on stage to perform Sanctuary. You can pre-order your Persistence of Time 30th Anniversary Edition today by going to anthrax.com. That's anthrax.com.
Get that from my brother. Anthrax and Iron Maiden.
You got Anthrax from your brother?
No, I'm going to give him Anthrax.
Oh, how nice.
So sweet. What a good bond you could have.
Make sure to send enough for the whole family.
Send it in little envelopes, too.
I don't know why I'm so gassy.
Well, I went on a
I had a minestrone soup, and I'm very gassy. Sorry,
yeah, you started a little bit late because Rob was taking.
I had a poo emergency, indeed. I was setting up, and then it was like one of those things where it's like, need toilet now.
And Rob, you worried me a little because you were so apologetic about having to take a shit, and I feel we're all very turd positive.
Yes.
Yeah. We've never shamed you.
I didn't want to delay the show. I wanted you guys to understand why it was happening, and I was very the fun. Worst is when you have to shit and you're on a time limit and it's like I gotta get to the show, but am I done? Let me just wait two more minutes, and then you know.
Yeah. Well, where was it on the hardness scale?
On the Richter scale.
But the actual firmness, I want to know.
But. It was FAWFT soft. It was liquidy. It was not pretty.
That's usually when you're trying to hold it in and then you have to rush to do it. It becomes a bit, soup inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Any lentils? So.
No lentils. No. I had a grilled cheese and a vegetable soup for lunch.
Grilled cheese makes turmoil in the stomach, as good as it is.
What kind of cheese?
White American.
Really?
You put butter on the bread?
So you had a Karen? You had a Karen mm-hmm. grilled cheese?
Mm-hmm. What are you supposed to put on a grilled cheese?
Put some cheddar. Some provolone.
Provolone.
Provolone is basically white American.
Except it's Italian. You can't be pronounced the fucking name.
The flavor is basically the same. It's a little less salty.
A little tanginess to it, I'd say.
To which? Provolone?
I mean, it's not sharp like a cheddar or something, but it's more than American cheese.
What I keep wanting to look up, like, why is there white and yellow American? What's the difference there?
What color?
One is made of pee-pee.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
Talk about cheese. Talk about pee-pee.
Yeah, one is the cow cum and one is the cow piss.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Talk about sex. Talk about pee-pee.
Sorry. Well, we talked about provolone. Should we talk about one of our favorite online reviewers in the history of Yelping?
Why not?
My favorite read of quarantine so far.
He's back at it again?
Always. Nothing can stop him. The pandemic can't stop him.
We've talked about this before. For newer listeners, do we say his name? Have we said his name?
He runs a competing blog.
Competing metal blog.
He thinks it's competing.
He thinks it's piercing.
It's piercing the industry. And we found that he has a Yelp page, a Yelp account, where he leaves incredibly detailed reviews of some of the most mundane places. And we've read some of the reviews in the past. I like saying it like that, in the past. And we checked in with him this week, and we found there's tons of new reviews. You would think in the age of quarantine, he can't go places to review them, but turns out the opposite might be true. So should we start with the urgent care center review, or do you have another?
All right, get it up on the screen. Are you going to get it on the screen and read it, or let me read it, or should I just get it?
We were trying to not show his name.
Yeah, I don't want to show his name. So.
Send me a link in our group chat then.
Oh.
It's in I sent it. Oh, I'll send you the direct link to his Yelp.
Okay.
And while Darren is getting that queued up, I do want to mention, if you need yourself a little extra live cast, we have two bonus episodes up this month for our Patreon. Go to patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. For $5 a month, you get access to all bonus episodes we've done in the last year. There's a bunch of them. There's at least 12, more than 12. And this weekend, I uploaded a watch-along that we did of the show Tag Team. It was an early 90s pilot starring Jesse the Body Ventura and Roddy Piper, who are pro wrestlers turned cops. The pilot doesn't make any sense. It's hilarious. We had a great time watching it. And it's about an hour, and you'll definitely laugh. And then something we didn't have a great time watching was Danzig's Veronica, which is also up. Or was that last month's bonus?
That was last month.
The Francesa Palooza. How do I keep forgetting about this? That was truly one of our all-time best episodes. We just spent over an hour shitting on Mike Francesa.
We did nothing but just open clips of Mike Francesa talking and make fun of him.
And, like, seriously, we spent 40 minutes on this 1 3-minute clip because there was so much to mock.
Usually, if you want to shit on Mike Francesa for an hour, you can only do that if you work at a massage parlor in Suffolk County. We found a loophole to be able to do it without
them. I requested diarrhea. I specifically asked for that. This is solid poops. This is like a 9 on the Mohs scale.
I wanted it extra hot. Kind of cool.
Tell the girl in the back, eat some more fiber, all right? Okay.
And if you join by this Friday, if you join our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast, you can join the four of us in a Patreon Zoom hang where it'll be an open hang, open to all Patreon subscribers. And we're just going to hang out, chill for about an hour, talk, catch up, see how you're doing, do a mental health check.
Rob's going to share some grooming tips.
Yes, some pubing grooming tips.
Excellent. All right.
Ball stretching? No?
No live ball stretching.
I meant just telling them how to do it. Not.
I've already, yeah. The tips are in the archives, folks. You don't need to pay for those.
True.
But yeah, so that's...
We're visuals now. You could,
yeah.
Oh, true. Demonstrate. That's true. I don't think they need to see that, but patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast, as low as $5 a month. We hope you can join. So, Darren, do you have the Yelp reviews?
I have the urgent care. Is that what we want or something?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, here we go. This is our friend, Rochelle and May Nameless, who went to the CityMD Bay Ridge Urgent Care.
Looks like somebody in your neighborhood needs urgent care.
I would like to say I have been to the same.
So have I.
Did you go in the time of COVID or did you go before?
No, it was I think like last year. I got to
well,
went there.
Our friend visited during COVID times. So let's hear his review. I had been feeling under the weather a few days previous to my popping into this place. And after doing the COVID-19 screening test at a nearby location, I decided to walk into the neighboring CityMD for the antibodies test. It was early enough. Twas early enough
for
in the day.
Test?
Antibodies. Antibodies.
He's from the Netherlands. Antibodies. Isn't that where Ted DiBiase summer?
Yes. "'Twas early enough in the day for the place to not be too crowded. So after signing in on one of the tablets, so they had all of my information, I found myself with a short wait time to get the test. The assistant took my blood pressure, which was a tad high for my liking. But the assistant was too high or his blood pressure was too high?
Oh, Rob, are you working at the CityMD?
I'm not a fan of sharing that kind of blood pressure information. But there's this very introspective admission here. I was nervous about this whole thing. Then a small sample of blood was drawn. And one of the physicians told me that I would hear within 5 days. They had my mobile and email, so I was not worried. He kept a stiff upper lip. The whole experience was about 20 minutes, which isn't bad, and relatively painless, unless you risk fainting when you get a needle to take some blood. I ended up with a light black and blue mark on the arm from their taking this, but that can happen. Is not my primary physician. Oh, really? It's called CityMD.
Hold on. Why do we need to know that you bruise easily? Like how is that?
So specific.
Well, he's like translucently white. So So
also, like, how often has he passed out from getting a shot that he's writing about it like this?
Well, he's not saying it's him. He's saying for other
exactly.
people.
Fast forward to now. I did not have the virus
Hooray.
Or possess the antibodies. My slight malaise was a light case of bronchitis, which I get every few years. It's a hell of a time to pay me a visit. And I am fine now. And he
Beautiful.
Has a picture. He has a picture that he took of a little stick figure with a circle and a slash through it. And it says, "This chair is reserved for social distancing. Thank you."
He's not allowed to sit on that chair.
They just had a person in the lobby putting that on any chair he tried to sit in. We were hoping he would just leave. It didn't work.
There's a big dearth of, like, bad reviews here.
Oh,
all right.
So many.
No, a big dearth means there aren't any.
All right.
No, there's so many. I went, okay, you have
like
to
new see. Ones. I meant new ones.
Yeah. He's trying to keep it positive in 2020.
There's
another one.
There's the H&L Bagels. And McKenna's Pub.
But H&L has 5 stars. That was why I skipped that one. But you want McKenna's Pub or you want H&L Bagels?
Please, both of them.
All right, here's McKenna.
Both great reviews.
So, while I haven't been here in about a year, the last time that I popped in for a few beers was exactly like the previous time and the previous time before that, and so on. My usual rationale for popping into McKenna's was based upon my heading to the now shuttered Highline Ballroom, which closed sometime in the year of our Lord 2019. My standing order in the place is a couple of Bud Light pints, and depending on when you get there, a 2-for-1 drink special is something to enjoy. You order a drink and get a poker chip for your next drink. It's a sweet deal indeed. And now, most assuredly based on everyone needing to tighten their belts, so order one of their hamburgers, since they just make them so good there. With this I add cheese, of course, and like the fries on the side. Just a little bit extra, but overall is a very affordable addition to the experience. The staff are cordial enough, based on what I've observed. There are a host of regular patrons to the place, and in addition to some tables and booths on the side, there are some games and a pool table in the rear.
Who says in the rear? Who says in the rear?
An old person.
They generally play loud disco or house music, but I have heard some rock there on occasion. Sometimes 'tis a wee too loud, but hey, it's a New York City bar, and everyone is looking to let loose afterwards.
Okay.
I look forward to returning and meeting friends once more for a very long overdue beverage of the alcohol. I just parsed that sentence as he looks forward to meeting friends, as in making some. One day I shall meet a friend at McKenna's Pub.
I just love the fact that he says he hasn't been there in a year. He's just randomly writing a review about a place that he hasn't even been to recently. Just because he's bored? It's like...
Yeah, what?
It's like if you had like a text thread with an ex or something and then she blocked you, but you keep replying to the thread anyway.
Yeah.
It's so sad. It's like, dude.
But the review also has this like very like pathetic picture of a like burnt cheeseburger and fries. So it's like he must have had to go back a year in his photos to pull that up and put it in the Yelp. It's very committed.
Was he saving it? Like, why didn't he just post that when he took it? What was he
saying? He doesn't want to put out too much content at once. He wants to make sure people see his content, so he has to roll it out over time.
Or what if he foresaw a pandemic happening and saved some reviews for so that he, when he couldn't go out, he'd have a few in the can?
Yeah.
He posts the A+, like his best work right away. But then there's like the mid-tier reviews. He's not really proud of the writing style. So he saves those just in case. They're in the draft. God. He's like, fine, there's nothing new. Let's dig in the draft and see what I could throw out there.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Do you want to read him taking a COVID test? Is that interesting?
didn't he take one?
I just did that.
No. There's another one.
Where? New York NYC hospitals.
Why does he need two COVID tests? What is this?
Well, if you heard the review, Sid, he did say he took a COVID test and an antibodies test.
Antibodies.
All right. Should I read this one?
Let's do it.
Upon noticing that there was a COVID-19 testing center open in the location formerly housing a Chase bank, I decided to get a test done. Though I've been practicing social distancing and keeping away from pretty much everyone.
I wonder if it was the other way around.
Even before the pandemic, he was practicing that.
I've ceased licking necks during this nationwide crisis.
Only collars now. He only licks collars.
I only put a dental dab in my mouth as I lick women's necks. I wasn't feeling well the other day and felt that it's better to know than not.
It's the wrong
thing. Right.
Sorry, than to not. Fuck is this phrasing? The weather change often hits me with a seasonal bug. Who needs to know this?
Why is this relevant to the review?
This is such padding. Like, does that influence whether, like, him not knowing if he had a bug or not? Does that matter whether I go to this health center?
I wonder if he feels like, you know, if I don't hit the 200 character mark, it's not even worth posting a review.
He probably just thinks he gets more engagement when he makes it personal.
Yeah, and I think you're right. He's just wanting to make a pleasant experience, and then people will really take the review to heart.
Yeah. It's not about what he's reviewing. It's about him. He's
building
his own brand. Yeah.
There's a political statement. Yeah, 2 miles.
Oh, boy.
The weather change often hits me with a seasonal bug, but under the current scenario of a place like NYC and others not wearing masks, capital not, and being mindful, I wanted to be sure that was it. So, they had staff outside asking if you wanted to be tested. I said, yeah. And this is all one sentence, right? So they had staff outside asking if you wanted to be tested. I said, yes, and they led me inside. Everyone stands on a market space before going to the window, which looks like a bank teller station and very protected. Take all your information and they send you to another cubicle to answer more questions before getting the test. They confirm some questions and then do the swab, and I wanted to do this Yelp because I've been watching friends post on their socials about how painful the swabbing is. It is not. It actually tickled me and was over in seconds. The whole process took no longer than 15 minutes. But 'twas before lunch on a Monday, so maybe no one realized the idea yet. I love that this sort of center is in our amazing neighborhood, and my hope is that more people take advantage of getting the test done. The more they do, the more they know, after all.
Great advice.
Isn't that the idea at the end of the day? I'd like to think so.
So I was quickly scanning. I think the H&L Bagels one is there's some great gems
great.
In there. The Dollar Basket, the third paragraph, huge, and the Planetarium. And then we could wrap up. That's already too much. But these three are both.
Should I snip out the best parts of them or just read through all of it?
Well, the H&L Bagels one, I think you have to read the whole one, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Noah if she's ever been to H&L Bagels.
No, I only went to Bagel Boy.
I went to H&L once. It was fine. There were a lot of flies in there, though.
That's Oh, no. It's not because that's on 88th and...
H&L Bagels is 88.
Yeah.
I have been there. It's really good. I liked it.
Okay, go on. Sorry.
As I sit and cobble this one together, I am surprised that it's taken me this long to do a Yelp narrative.
Does he really say that? Yeah. He really says Yelp narrative?
Yes, I told you.
Fucking
by
Christ.
Me. This is, I've been throwing in jokes, but that's real. To do a Yelp narrative, considering just how long I've been a patron of H&L Bagels. Now,
can I just Sid, if I'm not mistaken, isn't H&L Bagels relatively new? Didn't they just open?
I mean, I've only been on this part of Bay Ridge for a couple of years. I think it's been there as long as I've been here.
He's had 5 check-ins at this place, by the way.
I mean, there's people who go to bagel places 5 times a week.
He hits it up.
Okay, so maybe I'm thinking of the wrong place. Okay, I've not been here then.
Ready?
Yes, sorry about that.
Now, truth be told, over the years, it's generally my practice to only get their awesome bagels, but on occasion I grab a breakfast sandwich or one of their deli sandwiches. Happily, I can say that everything that I've ever had here was tasty and devoured to the max.
To the max.
I used to morph into Zach from Saved by the Bell. I used to live around the corner from the place, but over the years have moved a few blocks away. What? Why is that? Okay. And I mention this because...
There you go, Darren.
There are other bagel stores close to the 2 apartments I've lived in since that original time, and I will still find myself walking over to H, ampersand L, to get what I need. Now, some folks have reported that it's a busy place, and yes, that is true. The aisle to get to the counter is narrow, and on one side is the glass displays and their preparation space, while on the other is the refrigerators with the assorted sodas, milks, juices. In the front of the space, there is a small counter where one can sip a coffee and eat something, but it's not spacious at all. Yes, good in a pinch, if you think you only need 5 minutes to do that before getting on with your day. My standard order is a dozen bagels, and I usually split this between the everything bagel and the garlic one. I used to love poppy seed and sesame seed ones, but leaned towards the everything one some time ago and rarely look back. Every so often I will buy it.
Wait, rarely look back. That means
this is amazing.
Occasionally he's like, perhaps I need to revisit my sesame bagel obsession.
I suppose it is human nature to glance over one's shoulder wistfully at prior dalliances with other genres of bagels.
With poppy seeds.
At the end of the day, we must proceed forward on the beam, or we shan't get anywhere in life. Every so often, I will buy a couple of salt bagels and eat them as if they were a pretzel.
Oh,
great place, and should be supported.
How often does he go through these dozen bagels? Do you like this is just nonstop carbs?
Hey, I am with him. I could eat a bagel every single day.
I'm
just hungry.
I have to say, between his and we won't reveal him or his name, but between his publicity photo on his website and his avatar on Yelp, there's a difference of a good 60 pounds. So maybe the bagel is like packing on the poundage. All right, Dollar Basket. Do I want to read all of Dollar Basket?
I think the second
looks like the Jew, where the Jew.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, the space is well lit and very, very clean. It's a
By
large,
the way, to be clear, it's a supermarket. Go
it's
ahead.
Like a $1.99 store.
It used to be a supermarket. This is actually one, it's not even one block away from where I used to live.
Yeah, I remember.
I regret moving.
This definitely looks like it has a picture of it, and it looks like a.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You're right. Okay, go ahead.
Right off the bat, the space is very well lit and very, very clean. It's a large-scale convenience store with a number of needful items. Toiletries, glassware, cleaning products, pet products, toys, snacks, and stationery, card store stuff, and much more. As a hot sauce fan, I took particular notice to a whole display loaded with assorted hot sauces. Everything seemed reasonably priced by comparison to some other markets.
You know who you are.
As I perused, I noticed that there was a nice mix of name brands and some smaller brands, and I like that dynamic. Sometimes the smaller brands are just as good, if not better than, a higher priced big name. Another thing that impressed me was their cards area, since our neighborhood lost a massive greeting card store not too long ago, and this has relegated us to the likes of Dwayne Reed, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, spelled as if it's Wahlberg, Donnie Wahlberg. Walgreens with an H, with a H, for cost. The staff we encountered was friendly. Did you want to cut in there? Sorry.
We're just laughing.
The staff we encountered was friendly, and there appeared to be an open Wi-Fi signal. Since my device was picking one up as I explored. I hope this place does well, since it offers the neighborhood some variety and serves a need. And then there's a picture, and the captions are superimposed over the picture, and those caption takes up the entire picture. I don't even worth reading it.
Oh, my God.
You know, actually, I don't understand the last sentence because from what I remember, there were two other discount stores in like a one block radius of that big one. So it actually came in and ate up the little guy.
Oh,
but he didn't mention that.
I see. You're right. By the way,
so I beg to differ.
You should give a thumbs down to that review.
Well,
yeah.
Pish tosh to you, Noah. What do you know as a peasant? I've been in shopping at Dollar Basket for years!
I wonder now, which one of his devices he brought to the Dollar Basket.
I want to point out that was a historic Yelp review because that was his final pre-pandemic review.
Wow.
Oh.
That was the last one he went to.
Simpler time.
All right, am I doing Hayden Planetarium?
The Planetarium, and then, yeah, we'll wrap it up after that. This one is good.
I like both paragraphs, but I guess I'd choose the second one if you're only going to read one.
Oh, this isn't too long. I think I can plow through this whole thing.
Okay.
I've been to the Hayden Planetarium about three times. When you go that high, it's easy to lose count. Over the past 2 years, or about 2 years, and as a result, I added that. Have seen the Dark Universe film 2X, and the about 2X, and the soon to open World Beyond Earth show once in a preview. I've enjoyed it each time that I've gone,
and was fortunate to not have screaming children around me like some other yelper pointed out. But honestly, if this is the case during any show, the staff should be enforcing more quiet. And perhaps they need to set aside a certain showing where younger children can attend and be themselves. I can agree. Now, what do they? What does he want them to do? Come in with like a taser rod or something? Like,
no, he's saying there should be.
He wants to segregate the children.
Yeah, no child screaming, so he can enjoy it without their.
Rob, I'd like to point out to you that was his second option. The first one was enforcing more quiet.
Oh, okay. My apologies.
Sounds a little ominous to me. I can agree that the seats are in need of being adjusted. He's arguing with another, like he's debating another Yelp review. Like we're supposed to have this prior knowledge. Are in need of being adjusted to look up a little easier. But oh, listen to him. He's the guy that assaulted necks all over the city is now complaining that his neck was strained a little bit. Come on, man.
Hypocrite.
I was not overly uncomfortable during my screenings. I enjoyed both films and the exploration of the region just outside the planetarium afterward. Sure, you are going to find yourself exiting the gift shop, but I don't think anything avoids that nowadays. You
what?
Are
what? Like, is that such a problem?
He's got a statement on crass capitalism.
I recall the halcyon days of my youth when gift shops were optional.
I want to point out he's telling them now they need to segregate their kids. They shouldn't have a gift shop. How does he think this planetarium is going to make any money? Like, you
from
know,
good Yelp reviews.
From yeah. old, just.
I will herd the masses and see you.
Yeah.
They will show up in throngs after reading my Yelp review, my positive Yelp review, where I shit on you for not policing children adequately.
And say that your chairs don't hurt my neck too much. What a great compliment.
And not remembering the exact number of times under five that I showed up. You are always able to say no. And if you have tons of kids with you, the fucking kids. Who will want to purchase something, just be that adult that says no and shoo them out.
Oh, he's talking about the gift shop still.
Right. Maybe distract them with the dinosaurs exhibits to get them to move along. Good luck.
I love that he's giving advice to parents about how to not get toys for their kids. Could you imagine being a parent and reading this and just like wondering, like, but how do I avoid the gift shop? What do? I need answers. And then you scroll there and like, oh, perfect. I could just say no. Thank you. Great
There's
review.
Another review here about children. Children, I hate them. End of review.
Not for me.
Oh, man. Please, like, I keep going down further and further. Oh. And there's, like, I just want to read all of them.
I'm not a fan I am not a fan of sharing spermatozoa with an egg to produce a child.
Have we read his review of the Paramount? Because just the first sentence is amazing.
Is that on the same page?
Yes, yeah, it's two down from.
I got it. As a Brooklyn native with no personal means of transportation, i.e., a car. Oh, sorry. We thought you were talking about a helicopter. Okay. Got it. Your Learjet is out of commission. Heading out to Long Island for stuff is not the usual case scenario for me. Now, I should mention that I've known about the Paramount for a few years now, and despite my listing their biggest events on my name of his website, calendar for support. Wow, what a plug. He just directed traffic.
Didn't link it.
He didn't link it, but he thinks they want to be in the know.
People will know. Yeah.
Website calendar for support. I had never before been there until the legendary Judas Priest was doing a two-night stint back in 2019. I'm not going to laud the glories of Judas Priest music and speak about the venue here in this room. Oh, I see. And speak more about the, that's very worded very poorly. The venue is a lovely looking place and offers a spacious GA area and an upstairs balcony. My ticket was for the GA region, and that was fine, since I had to go in and out of the photo pit, as this was a working night for my website.
Oh,
so hold on. Are you at any of these shows? Yes.
Don't you have to get paid for it to be a working night?
Oh, burn.
Ad revenue, Robert. Ad revenue. Jealous much?
Click, click.
Apparently, the GA folks only get a wristband and no ticket, which less.
Oh, wait, you skipped a second. You skipped a second.
Oh, I did? Okay, you're right.
Before, apparently.
I did want to see what it looked like upstairs, but I was not permitted to do so.
I've never been to the Paramount.
This bottle service. I mean, wow, that's in Long Island. I thought he was talking about the Paramount next to with MSG. Which is
I've been there once. Very nice.
What did you see there? Oh, is that the Westbury Music Fair that's now just with a corporate name?
No. Who did I think I saw Clutch there.
Clutch,
actually.
Yeah, I think it was Clutch.
How do you remember that?
You talked about it on the show.
Oh. How Rob do you remember that?
He hangs on your every word, Noah. Come on.
All right, here we go. Oh, was it sorry, Noah? Do you want to say something?
No.
No. Go on, please.
Apparently, the GA folks only get a wristband and no tickets, which lessens my collection by one. And of course, this was not a good thing since I am retentive on my ticket stubs. And this was a Priest show and something I wanted in my envelope of past shows. Sigh. Should I plow on?
Just the last, the first sentence of the last paragraph.
I didn't remember a Wi-Fi signal in the place.
Oh,
at
my
the
God,
time.
This.
I am adding this Yelp, but we'll say that there is an awesome Spanish food joint almost next door, and the Huntington Bar, which I enjoyed for sure. I look forward to coming back to this venue in the future.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, he also, I won't read the whole other paragraph, but he admits to stealing a free pretzel. Or not stealing, but happily glomming a complimentary pretzel.
Well, it came with his photo pass.
No, it was, his pass was printed on a pretzel. After the show, I noticed they put the unsold pretzels on the counter to be taken by the patrons leaving. So I had a snack for the ride home as well.
Imagine those loose pretzels on the counter of a concert venue.
God, dude.
I'm assuming it's the baked pretzels, not like
even still.
Yeah,
but,
that's what
yeah.
I was thinking.
Imagine
you sitting all night.
Imagine this schlub, you're next to him on the LIRR, like gnawing on a rock hard pretzel like a squirrel.
You think he waited till he got on the train to dive into that pretzel?
Yeah, you know why? I guarantee that he like picks every salt one by one and then eats the pretzel. So he needs a good seat for that.
Sid, you're right. I mean, you're right. He didn't wait, but he took 11 pretzels. So by the time he got to the Long Island Railroad, he still had like at least 4 pretzels.
His camera was all covered in salt. The pictures were ruined.
I want to rename this blog like just the carbs blog, the carb review blog, because that's all he does is just eat fucking bread and salt and pretzels.
Oh my God.
Also, he said he went to that Spanish place. So he had a Spanish meal
couple
and then
empanadas.
A pretzel.
A couple of empanadas, yeah. Okay. What a pig.
Then he had a chicken farm. Thankfully, he didn't have to have sex with anybody that night, so he's good.
Yeah.
Right. Just went home.
Bubba the Love Sponge tried to get his wife to do him, and she said, no way. That was Bubba, right? Is that the right guy? I know they're all like, kind of, is that the right guy that Hogan was banging his wife, or am I mixing up?
Yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge.
Oh, maybe I had the wrong terrible DJ.
He is a fan of that kind of sharing.
He wishes he could. He would share. They're not offering it up.
Oh.
Imagine you bang 60-year-old out of shape Hulk Hogan and then refuse somebody else. That's scary. Oh,
man, some people just can't catch a break.
Poor so and so whose name you shall not be mentioned.
What is Hulk Hogan doing the pandemic? Is any, like, do you guys follow him?
He's spray painting the N-word on the side of buildings.
Oh,
my God.
Oh,
no. Oh, my God.
But he lives in Florida, right? Like, isn't he has a restaurant there, so he's probably really a
fan. No, he got rid of the restaurant, I believe.
I believe it went out of business.
Oh, I thought he sold it. Oh, even better. Good. No money for him.
Well, he sold it because he sold it.
I think he sold it
because it wasn't profitable.
I see. Well, who'd buy it then? I was thinking
somebody bought the property and like made it a different restaurant.
Oh, I got you.
Oh, wait, no. This is
I was going to say, don't open his Twitter feed. There could be all kind of racial slurs on there. We got to vet this.
Oh, it looks like he still has his beach shop.
Oh, does he just only sell the products now from the
Yeah, now I remember. Yeah, he closed the restaurant, but the merch store still exists.
I'm selling Red Cord merch, brother.
HH.
Why did he only write HH? What is that? Oh, did he leave HH out on the previous post and then have to write another HH? Like just to close
it
out?
No, it looks like it's days apart. It's just randomly
strange.
Oh, brother, I forgot to close out my last post with an HH, dude. I'm so OCD, brother. I got to go back in there, dude. You can't edit tweets?
Here's what he did. I've been from MSG to Silver Dome and to the moon. He hasn't been to the moon. Yeah. I love
what?
This feature.
Well, it's Hulk Hogan. He said he played in Metallica. Now he's been to the moon. Yeah. This is a big shock.
I love this beach. And all I wanted was to live my life here. Some stayed with me for the journey. Some left. To those that truly loved and believed in me, thank you with all my heart. I'm not done yet, brother. Was he about to kill himself?
He said, I'm not done yet with this tweet. He wanted to add a few racial slurs in, but the character limit cut him off.
Also, look at, I love that this photo.
Like from a phone.
It's like a photo of a screenshot of his phone.
Oh,
like, did someone send him this photo?
I gotta take a picture of this picture. Let me borrow your phone, brother. How do I get this picture into this other phone, brother? How do I do this?
Oh, can you read his tribute to Kamala?
Very Sadden.
I think I was playing that the other day. Sadden 21. Football game.
Very saddened by the passing of Big Jim Kamala. Like everyone else, I would always ask if it was okay to take the leg drop for the finish as requested by the office. Jim would always say, let's just keep making that money. He was such a kind soul. He would always ask people if he
could do his finishing move that he did on everybody ever.
Yeah, what?
That's
requested by the office? What? Huh?
Let me interpret this. Is he saying... Yeah. He ran it by him that the guy was going to job and not, he's just
yes,
saying,
that's okay. How I interpreted okay. it as well.
I got
that he's going to lose.
Did these right. people think they were going to be the one to beat Hulk Hogan? Really? I'm going to be the guy?
not Kamala. By the way, isn't it so weird? Kamala's real name is James Harris.
Yeah.
And
Kamala
then
Harris.
The same week he dies, Kamala Harris. It's just weird.
Yeah.
Hashem
and honestly, before 2 years ago, I never heard of Kamala Harris before 2016, let's say. And so when I first saw her name trending on Twitter, I was like, what is Kamala?
Yeah.
Why
dead.
Is he back in the news?
I like Big Jim Kamala, dude, because he is one of those black people that likes to do racial stereotypes. And that's what I like to do, brother.
Yeah, well. There you go.
Is that a
one
bomb?
Of the good ones, as they say.
Hulk Hogan wishes that black people would pat their bellies and like have stars painted on them. That's the world he lives in. That's why he's so backwards, fucking old racist.
All right.
Well, it's
mostly him just retweeting
strange things.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
R.I.P. Hulk Hogan.
Now we know what Hulk Hogan's up to.
Oh, God. What's Ultimate Warrior?
Murder!
Still dead.
Yeah.
Good. Of all the people who could be the first one in history ever resurrected, I wouldn't want it to be the Ultimate Warrior.
No. Who would you pick?
Wow, that's tough. Jimi Hendrix. I don't know. Pick one of them.
All right, that's fine.
Who would I pick?
I mean, a famous person, right? I mean, I could pick family members.
Yeah.
What famous person would I pick?
Cliff Burton.
See, I don't know if I would do a musician or like Dusty Rhodes.
But then, like, if he was back, like, then what? Like, what's he doing for you now that he's back? He's still like an old fat man.
He was developing new characters for WWE, and ever since he's died, what good characters have there been? Then think about it.
How about Danzig? Can we bring him back? No.
I would bring back, truthfully, I would bring back Dave Brocky. I want Dave here to commentate about the current political climate. Like, can you imagine what great offensive things Dave Brocky's Otis Arungus would have said the last 3 years?
He's always great, but I also fear that Trump is the one thing that could outstrip his absurdity and make it hard for him to compete with it. And relating his thoughts on it.
I feel like Trump would like war. It's,
well,
like, it's like in the 90s when like wrestlers or something or Peter Steele would go on Jerry Springer. It would be like the same kind of absurdity.
Imagine what their stage show would have been where they incorporate the president every time. It would have gone to a new level.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, I mean, they still did that. I mean, they've still been touring since...
But it's not, I don't know, is it the same? Like, what do they do?
You need him back if it's just the same.
What are they doing?
It's still a GWAR show.
What are they doing with Trump? What's the stage show for Trump?
Just the same thing they would do with any president. He comes out, he says some shtick, and then they rip him apart.
Yeah, what's the shtick, I'm saying?
Oh, I don't remember.
Must be great.
I thought they stopped doing the presidents. Didn't I read that?
Well, they're definitely not doing shows recently.
Yeah, I mean, not now. But, I mean, in the last 3 years, they've done shows. We could look it up.
Okay.
I think there was a live video that...
Probably, like, pee on him or something.
No, they just rip apart his arms and legs, and he bleeds everywhere. They rip his chest.
But my interesting thing, because they rip everyone apart anyway. But, I mean, like, what the lead-up to it was always, like, a special thing.
I
guess related to the person. Like, with, you know, with Obama, they had him say, you know, let me be quick. And then they would come out, you know, and chop him up.
Here we go. Here's something from 2018 where they kill President Trump.
Be careful you don't say that a bot is going to flag us. As like, get on a CIA watch list.
What?
There is another one. Let's see if it starts earlier. Oh, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump.
Well, that must be before.
Lower. Make it lower.
That must be before the election.
Yeah, 2016.
It looked just like her.
Oh, That was a good bit because like they're the heels, so they go, "We like Trump."
I guess then they just fight.
Oh, that was kind of weird.
Wait, let's go back to the other one.
When did Dave Brocky die? 2014?
Wow, it's been that long?
I don't know. I mean, is it? Am I right?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right. Died in 2014.
Thanks.
And then they kill him, you know.
Yeah, it was all right. I just remember it being more elaborate, like when I would see them under George W. Bush or, you know.
No, I think it's the exact same prop. I think the only difference is...
I'm not talking about the killing part. I'm talking about the lead-up banter to it.
Right. I think Odorous is a much better improver.
I'm not trying to knock War. I mean, it's still a great show. That he was something special.
Agreed. And you know who else is someone special? Our top livecast fans of the week. We want to thank them. And you could be a top livecast fan of the week by donating $10 a month on our Patreon. And I'd like to go through our top livecast fans right now. And I will do it in my version of Darren's voice.
Your version of my version of him.
We have Eric Rabaganouge, a.k.a. Justin. Benjamin, who is not a fan of that kind of sharing. El Duderino, who shops at Dwayne Rigo. We have Dan R. Cattle Decaf. Me, personally, I like a little extra pep in my coffee with my salt everything bagel. Mindy Mayer's kipper, a wonderful high-quality kipper. Croc Destroyer. Sam, I am. I is.
Wow. He does not have any antipodes in his system.
Janda Chasseur Chassousets Lacroix the Crustacean Sensation aka the Stumper.
How did you not say, and my favorite Lacroix flavor is pamplemousse?
because it's provolone.
Ash Boslov, Dallas, a place I haven't visited. Robo Vampiro, Vampiro, Vampiro! Shane, Hugo likes tacos. Here goes. And finally, hi guys, it's Josh.
Nice
interpretation. Very nice.
I am a destroyer. I love to destroy.
You're running it into the ground now.
All right. We don't have to go through that. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We hope you could tune in live. If not, check out the archives. We are on Spotify. We're on iTunes. We are everywhere podcasts are, and if you use those services, please take a second, give us a 5-star review. It really makes a difference for us. It really helps us out. We're giving you all this free content with no antibodies, and you can just rate us 5 stars. It'll be very easy, and we'd appreciate it. And until then,
We will see you next week. Okay? Got to leave. Right. Got to say goodbye to you. I don't want to play the
song. Okay, because, like, are you singing to it or is it playing? We can't hear it.
And you can't hear us anymore because we're done. We're done.
I got a problem I got to figure out.
What's wrong?
With, like, the sound player that I'm using works great, but, like, every now and then I'll click a sound and it lags. And it takes, like, yeah, look, I pressed it, like, 15 seconds ago. But it only does that maybe once out of, like, 10 times. But that's still really bad. Like, it's not hitting my cues that I need.
I guess I'll
Google it. But that's why I wasn't that on point with the...
Yeah. Check if that app has a support thing. Like, an email them. Maybe they have a solution.
I'll look into it. Thanks.
All right. I'll send the file in a minute.
But,
what?
The clips? Maybe the review of the Paramount, something from the Paramount review.
Okay.
And then something, what can you pull from the interview?
Maybe just from the interview? Like, do we have...
Yeah, I don't know, like, yeah, I'd rather not...
That inside the episode.
Yeah. Just like him talking about the album, the message of the album, and then...
Maybe what he thinks about, like not doing shows.
Yeah, and
pits.
Yeah.
That stuff.
It was like in the beginning.
Okay.
Kind of like how he's dealing with it, how he's not going to play shows until it's really safe. I like that message.
Mm-hmm.
So those two.
Yeah, and the human connection thing. Yeah. Okay, sounds good.
Human disconnection.
Ah!